Good morning. You're all looking absolutely fantastic. Have a seat. Happy New Year. And with you and you. Well, let's state the obvious. So, it's a new year. There's different ways I could say that, isn't there? I can say, so it's a new year. So, it's a new year. So, it's a new year. how do we approach it? How do we look at it? So it's a new year. It's just another day. What now? And that's the question that I want to ask you this morning. What now? What's next? What's your next move? We got any chess players here? Yeah, I know. It's sort of a bit of a dying art, isn't it? And, yeah. Anybody sort of wake up in the morning and think, you know, tonight I would love to go out with my mates and have a rousing game of chess. Your sort of thing, Dennis. Actually, Anthony, I don't know if he plays rousing games of chess. But during the week he had a rousing game of cricket in our backyard, inspired by a 4-year-old. Anthony said that's the most fun he's had playing cricket for a long time. All right, it's a new year. So what's your next move? What's next? So Joshua, the great general that led Israel into the promised land, had lived pretty much his life in two seasons. The first season of his life, and perhaps until he was around about 40, he lived as a slave. It's highly probable that he was hidden in the Nile River in much the same way that Moses was. You know, we read the story of Moses, and it would appear that was one of the common ways that the Hebrews hid their baby boys so that they wouldn't be taken out by Pharaoh, who was trying to limit the population of the Hebrews at the time. So they would hide their baby boys in the River Nile. So it's quite possible that that's how Joshua started his life. His whole people group were all going somewhere, but they hadn't arrived. So Joshua knew about the wilderness. He knew about transition. He knew about wandering. He knew about survival. He knew about God's provision. He'd been in the wilderness where they'd escaped Pharaoh. They'd got out into the wilderness under the leadership of Moses. And they had God's provision. Basically, there was no food, but God provided them with food. God provided them with water. They didn't have to work. They didn't have to do anything. It just appeared. Manna came down from heaven overnight. This sort of bready stuff would actually land on the ground. They would all go and gather it up and just gather what they needed for the day, and they would grind it up and they would cook with it, and they would do that every day. So they didn't have to farm, they didn't have to work. So he knew about God's provision, but he'd never experienced possession. Now, there is a difference between provision and possession. And sometimes we live in a provision mindset rather than a possession mindset. And I think perhaps even where we are so blessed in our nation that regardless of what's happened in your life, there is an element of provision for you. And we're also thankful that we have a compassionate society where we do our best to provide for people and make sure that people don't starve and all sorts of things like that. And it doesn't mean life's easy, but there is provision available. What does it take to go from living with provision to taking possession? Maybe in 2018, we need to not just experience provision, but we need to step into possession. So Joshua was born a slave. It's estimated he was born in Egypt about 1355 BC. And as a slave, he would have known about taking orders. He would have known about hard work. He would have known about punishment. He knew how to live through and live with fear, because as a slave, you never knew when you were going to get beaten. But slaves weren't able to take possession of anything. They were actually somebody else's possession. That experience, that mindset of a slave was what Joshua had grown up with, it was what he'd lived with, and it was what he'd experienced. But despite all his misfortune, in spite of the fact that he was born a slave and possibly a victim, depending on how you look at it, when it was his moment, he grabbed hold of it, and he grabbed hold of what was next, and he stepped up. As we embrace a new year, I want to challenge you that you might decide this morning that you will not spend another year in slavery, that you will not spend another year in bondage to something, whatever that is, finances, substances, fear, insecurity, unhealthy relationships, lethargy, whatever it is. Why not decide this morning, because you know what, there is a great power in a decision. Why not decide this morning, as we approach a new year, instead of saying, well, so, it's a new year, it's just another day. That's true. But it's a point in a timeline where you can make a decision. And why not decide that you're not going to spend another year controlled by some of those things? That you're not going to spend a year in slavery to something. Let's not spend another year living as a victim. Let's not spend another year living in the past. Let's not spend another year living without purpose. Joshua chapter 1, if you've got your Bibles, let's have a look at that. I'm going to preach into this in the next few weeks. I won't be here next week. And then we've got Mark VB, I think, the week after that. And then I want to come back to this as we launch into this year. There's a whole lot of stuff I'm really excited about in this passage. And it's a very well-known passage, and it says this. It says, Joshua chapter 1, starting at verse 1. After the death of Moses, so Joshua was out in the wilderness with a million other people, and their great leader, Moses, who had led them out of Egypt, got them out of slavery, had made sure that they'd survived for perhaps around 40 years. A whole generation of people grew up in the wilderness. And he dies. So it's a significant time. And Joshua was Moses' assistant. And God comes and he speaks to Joshua. And it says this: after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, and says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead the people of Israel, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set your foot on the land I've given you, from the Negev wilderness to the south, to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including the land of the Hittites, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. And then he goes on, and you hear these verses often used by themselves. It says, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess the land I swore to their ancestors. I will give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning to either the left or the right. Then you will be successful in all you'll do. Study the book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Listen, he comes back again. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua then commanded his officers of Israel, go through the camp and tell the people to get ready. In other words, get ready for their next move. In 3 days, we will cross the Jordan River and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you. Then Joshua called together the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and he told them, remember what Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. The Lord your God is giving you a place of rest. He has given you this land. Your wives and children, livestock, may remain here in the land Moses assigned to you to live on the east side of the Jordan River. But your strong warriors and your fully armed must lead the other tribes across the Jordan River. Stay with them until the Lord your God gives them rest as he has given you the land the Lord your God has given you. Only then may you return and settle here on the east side of the Jordan River. Now, there's a whole lot in that. I'm going to land on that in future weeks. But if we go down to verse 16, it says, "Then Joshua answered, 'We will do whatever you command us to do. We will go wherever you send us. We will obey just as we obeyed Moses. And the Lord your God will be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your orders or does not obey your words and everything you command will be put to death.'" So, be strong and courageous. All right. To step into a new year, to embrace what's next. Verse 2 says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people." So number one, I think if we want to embrace what's next, we've actually got to let the past go. To embrace what's next, we've got to let the past go. You know what? You can't grab something new while you're holding something old. You know, I've only got two hands. And I see our little kids, often they'll be holding something, they'll fall over or something because they're trying to grab something with one hand, but they are so concerned about and very possessive about what they might have in their other hand, and they won't let that go to get what they want next, and they crash and burn. And so often we crash and burn because we're not prepared to let go of the past to embrace what God has next. You know, God is always the God of the next. He is faithful. His word remains forever, but he's always leading you to something. He's always doing something new. And there is a journey that we've all walked that is important, that is significant, that we don't necessarily need to forget about, but there are things in our past and places that we've been that we need to get let go of. For example, Moses was a giant. In any way, shape or form, perhaps except physically, I'm not sure how big he was, but you know, in the Bible, he's a giant. He's very significant. In the history of Israel, he is still celebrated as one of their most amazing prophets. He is the person that led them out of Egypt. Imagine Joshua having to step into his shoes. It would have been absolutely and incredibly daunting. He achieved greatness. He was honored. He was celebrated forever. But the new season was a Joshua season, not a Moses season. See, what's next? What is your new season? Now, the difference between a Joshua season and a Moses season is Moses represented salvation from Egypt, but he also represented the law and the consequences of rebellion and disobedience. Moses represented nomadic wandering. Moses, who exemplified the law of God, could not lead Israel into the land of promise and the land of rest. See, if you're trying to live under law, if you're trying to live under rules and regulations, perhaps if you're trying to live under the bare minimum, because you see, a law represents the minimum. You see, our government, our country, they legislate things. And really, what they're wanting us to get hold of is not so much the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. See, the spirit of the law actually says a lot more than the letter of the law. If all we're trying to do is hold on to the letter of the law, we want to do the bare minimum, don't we? And sometimes we read our Bible in that same manner. And we want to know, what's the minimum I can do to get by? There was a young, educated guy that came to Jesus and he said, "Hey, what have I got to do to enter the kingdom?" And Jesus knew where he was coming from. And he said, "Actually, I've done all the stuff. I've kept the law." And Jesus said, "Well, you've actually missed the point. What I want you to do is sell all your stuff, give it to the poor, and then follow me." And it seems pretty harsh, doesn't it? But Jesus was saying, no, it's not about the law. It's about your heart and where you're at. And he said, well, if you want to follow me, you've got to give it all up. So, you know what? If you want to just live by the letter of the law, you can't actually come into a place of rest and promise. Joshua represented possession. Joshua represented promise and future. Joshua, though, didn't dishonor Moses. He stood on the past, but when it was his turn, he stepped up into his calling. You know, God honored Moses, and he says, I promise you what I promised Moses. His word doesn't change. His promises stand forever, but his methods are not sacred. And seasons conclude and commence. See, God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It doesn't change. But the methods are never sacred. The way that we do church isn't sacred. Even the way that a very traditional cathedral does church, and that's a very powerful thing, but it's not sacred. The methods are not sacred. God's promises are sacred. They are rock solid. They don't change. But the method or the vehicle is not sacred. You know what? We sometimes got to let go of the past and move to the future. We don't dishonor the past. We thank God for that. We stand on the past. We stand on where we are. Or we acknowledge the fact that we've been through pain, that we've been through suffering, that we've been through stuff we didn't deserve. We can acknowledge that and understand that, but we don't make that sacred. We don't beatify the past. We actually understand it. We honor it. We acknowledge it, but we let it go and move into the future. It says this in Psalm 45:16. It says, instead of your fathers will be your sons, whom you shall make princes in all the earth. What a powerful verse. Imagine if we are actually wanting to make the next generation greater than we are. Imagine trying to say, well, actually, it's not about me being recognized. It's not about me, you know, having all this stuff. It's not about me having my moment in the sun. It's about making the next generation princes in the land. Yeah. And I love what the Message Bible says. It says, set your mind now on the sons. Don't dote over the fathers and the grandfathers. You'll set your sons up as princes all over the earth, and I will make you famous for the generations. You'll be the talk of the town for a long, long time. So let's not beatify the past. Let's always be looking forward and considering emerging generations. You know, you don't need to forget the past. We honor and we celebrate the great things. We remember and we learn from it and we process the past. But we do need to let it go sometimes. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead the people. All right, to step into a new year, to embrace what's next. Step into your time. Step into your time. I love that little passage and the verse perhaps often gets quoted out of context, but it's powerful when, you know, when we read about Esther and she finds herself as this Jewish slave. She finds herself being able to step into and be the queen of Persia. And there's this amazing verse where she acknowledges that she's there for a reason. And it says, well, maybe God has just put me here for such a time as this. You know what? Your season is now. You've actually got to step in to your time. It's not someone else's time. It's actually your time to step into that. Is anybody want to step up this year? Yeah. Step into your time. Yeah. Yeah. Really, there's, you know what? There's always something next for you. Decide today to step into what's next. Joshua would have been overwhelmed. He had 1 million people on the wrong side of the Jordan River. But God said to Joshua, hey, step up, your time has come. Let us step up and step into the opportunities that are in front of us. Number three, to step into a new year, to embrace what's next, I think we've got to step up with strength and courage. Step up with strength and courage. Verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you will lead these people to possess the land I swore to their ancestors that I would give them. You see, this bold courage was not in Joshua himself, but in God. Who feels a bit daunted or overwhelmed by something that's ahead of them at the moment? I think most of us do in certain areas. I tell you what, if you're not, come on, get out there. If you're not, get out. This is a prophetic word. Listen to this. Take it in. If you're not, get out there. If you're not, get out there. If you're not, get out there. If you're too comfortable, you're too comfortable. If you're too comfortable, you're too comfortable. If you're too comfortable, you're too comfortable. I'm not a stuck record. I just feel that we've got to get hold of this. You were called to rest, not comfort. There is a difference between comfort and rest. You can actually get sleep, and you can get re-energized on a bed that's not that comfortable. It helps if it is. But so often we think that the calling of our life is to be comfortable. God never called you to be comfortable. He called you into a place of rest where you would have peace in whatever season that you're in and you would understand it. But he never called you to be comfortable.
That's so good.
You know what? We can be full of self-confidence and that'll bring us unstuck. But we should be instead full of genuine God's confidence. You can step up because you've been chosen. You can be strong because God is always with you. This is my command, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. This is verse 9 because he repeats himself. For the Lord your God is with you. You know what? You don't have to have the strength because God's got it in truckloads. He's got it beyond anything that you could imagine. But that's the step of faith. That's what he wants you to step up and step into. You don't have to be afraid. Can the team join me, please? Some of us don't make a next move because we haven't considered the next move.
Wow. So good.
See, a good chess player is not just thinking about the next move. And you know what? I know the basic rules of chess and I can play it. But I don't know pretty much anything about the strategy of chess. I don't know how to win a game of chess. I just sort of know which bits would move where and just sort of try and hang in there and hope I get lucky. Is that the way... It's the way a lot of us find ourselves living life, isn't it? If we were all smarter, we would have known next moves. We would have known what the property market might do. There would have been times we could have mortgaged ourselves to the eyeballs and done really well out of it if we had have predicted what was going to happen. Most of us haven't done that. Because we're not that smart. We don't know it all. The cool thing is you don't have to be that smart. See, God said to Joshua, he didn't tell him all the moves. You know what he said to him? He said, be strong and courageous, for you will lead these people. You have got provision in the wilderness. You've got water in the wilderness. You've actually even got a level of comfort in the wilderness. But what you don't have is possession. You don't have promise and you don't have rest. Because in the wilderness, you can't see a future for your children. In the wilderness, you can't see cities. You can't see what is going to be there. In the wilderness, you only live day to day. In the wilderness, you only live hand to mouth. In the wilderness, that is all that you have. You see, the kingdom of God is not about the wilderness. The kingdom of God is about generations. The kingdom of God is about the future. The kingdom of God is not about being comfortable. The kingdom of God is not about remaining. The kingdom of God is about your next move, and 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 your next move. And you not might not be smart enough to know all the moves, but why not this morning just consider before God, what is it that is going to take me to my next move? What step do I need to take this morning at the beginning of 2018 to get one step closer to God's kingdom purpose for my life? What step is it that I need to take this morning? What do I need to let go of? What do I need to step into? What can I do? I guarantee that when we start to take those moves, you're not going to necessarily move to a place of comfort, but you are going to move to a greater place of rest.
Yeah.
You're going to move to a greater place of peace, because there is no stronger or better place of peace than being in the center of the will of God, where you are stepping into what He has for you. It's not insignificant. In a couple of weeks, we're going to have pop-up church in the Bridgewater Gagebrook area. And if we're really honest, we're actually stepping into even a different culture to what most of us are used to. We're stepping into a different mindset. We're stepping in to a culture that really doesn't live with possession. It's much more existence. I'm not being critical and saying wrong or right. I'm just saying a different in thinking. But I don't think it's insignificant. I think that what we've got to do is we're being called in 2018 really to be a church that brings about significant change in our city. You know, and God would actually ask us, and here you go, we've actually got to go across the Jordan River. We have got to go across the Jordan River. And I didn't think of that till just now. And wherever you put your foot, God says, I will be with you and I will give you that land. Come on. Come on. What is it this morning, that your next move? Where have you got to put your foot? And what is God going to give you? And whether that's in your family, whether that's in your mental health, whether that's in your finances. And there are significant things for us as a church together to step into, to place our foot where he will give us possession. Come on, let's stand. Can you, Lance, I don't know what song you're going to do, but I love that one that we were singing about Jesus changes everything here, now. Come on, let's declare that.